Sean, now that I have completely butchered that outro, okay, we're going to get into a good conversation here, 2026 recruiting, but not in the traditional sense, right? We're not here to tell you where things stand. You all know where things stand. Noah Grubbs is the commit to Notre Dame in the 2026 class, okay? Mm-hmm. Star quarterback out of the state of Florida. But Sean, guys that we had talked about for months and months and months, two of them went off the board this weekend, or this last few days, committed to their prospective school. And there's one that's trending to a certain school as well. And funny enough, is all three of these additional quarterbacks we'll talk about on top of Noah Grubbs have relevance to Notre Dame. And for various reasons, a lot of relevance. So let's talk about this, Sean. I want to get into this talk right now. For a while there, for a couple months, we had the conversation of and the back and forth as a fan base between Noah Grubbs, Brady Hartz. Who do you like better? Noah Grubbs, Brady Hartz. And they both are coached, obviously, by Baylen Trujillo, who is a great quarterback coach in the state of Florida that came on the show. They were both very high on Notre Dame as well, Sean. I maintain that if Notre Dame did not take Noah Grubbs, they probably could have gotten Brady Hartz. I maintain that. I believe that, okay, wholeheartedly. Well, Sean, Notre Dame did like Noah Grubbs a lot, so they took Noah Grubbs' commitment. Well, Sean, where did Brady Hart end up? Where is the worst, well, not worst possible, but where as a Notre Dame fan, if you are built a Notre Dame fan, if you grew up a Notre Dame fan, your roots are Notre Dame, okay? Fandom. What is the worst place that Brady Hart could end up?
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it, 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Are you a House of Dragon fan? Double
O. Oh, I am. I am. Yeah, I was watching last night. Yeah, love House of Dragons. Yeah.
The whole moment, the killing of the baby.
Oh.
You know, when you have that moment where you're like, no. And then you're like, what? They really did that? That was like the stab in the heart that Brady Hart committing to Michigan was for myself.
It was sad, wasn't it? Was it?
It was just like anybody but anybody but them.
Yeah, people were putting future cast. People were putting future cast into Clemson and stuff. Sean, I would have been like, all right, cool, Clemson,
all right, cool, Florida State, all right, cool. He stayed close to home. I understand. Look, for me, it's a double whammy, right? Because I was in on JJ McCarthy early on when he was playing football here in Illinois. Right? My hope was, oh, man, I hope Notre Dame gets in on this kid, right? Then he goes to IMG, and then Jim Harbaugh ends up in Michigan, and next thing you know, it's like, oh, man, he goes to Michigan. It was like the same feeling all over again, even though we have a quarterback that I like a lot. I like Noah Grubbs. I like Noah Grubbs. So I guess you can just count it up to me kind of being selfish and greedy a little bit as a fan. But yeah, any, I would have taken any commitment elsewhere other than the Michigan Wolverines. I promise you. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. It was out. Just seeing that, it's just like, oh, boy.
Well, Sean, same. I saw that and I was like, oh, no, Brady. Funny enough, I guess I can say his name because it's fine. You know, yeah, I don't think this was told in confidence. So I texted Baylen, Sean, after that. I was like, Michigan? And I was like, oh, everyone was talking about Clemson. Like, Clemson was the talk. And apparently Clemson wasn't even in Brady Hart's top three. Wasn't even in his top three. And people were putting like, future cast picks in. Like, they're just throwing in the crystal balls. And he wasn't even in their top three, dude. Wasn't even in his top three.
That makes me feel wonderful to hear that. That makes it a little bit better. That he just disliked Clemson that much.
Why would like, he dislike? Just no, not no, no, top three school.
Let me go. Because I'm yes, just like, go. Let me speak. This isn't it's what he said, but I'm just imagining this is what he said. Like, you know, ahead, the heel is nice. The heel is nice. The rock is nice. Dabo, you're pretty cool. I like you. You're guard fan, man. But DJ and K stink. Let's just talk about it. DJ and K stink. Neither developed. I can't see it there. I think the program is on the way down. There's no way I'm coming. I think that's what he said. I'll just put that out there. I think that's exactly what Brady Hart said. Nah, I don't trust your quarterback development to this point. All of your offensive guys have left you. And since then, yeah, nothing at the quarterback position. But I just hate that he turned his eyes towards Ann Arbor. You didn't have to turn your eyes towards them. But I understand. I understand. Because Sherrone Moore, in my opinion, has shown himself to be a really good. If you could talk about development of the position, more than anything, he knows how to tailor make an offense around the talents of his quarterback. And then he is a really good in-game play caller. And that's invaluable for a young man to come in and trust, knowing that he has that as an offensive coordinator. And now he's the head coach. So, you know, I don't fault him at all. I think it's a very smart and wise decision, honestly, as a young quarterback to go to that situation. I don't know what the program is going to do under his helm in comparison to Jim Harbaugh, but as a young quarterback, I would definitely be more trusting of the situation at Michigan rather than Clemson.
Well, luckily, Sean, I was told that another top three school for him would have been one that you probably would have hated even more than Michigan.
Oh, okay? Don't say that.
It may have been worse than Michigan, man. May have been worse. Yeah.
Worse?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I mean, USC?
No.
No? Miami? No.
Miami was one of his finalists, but that wasn't where I was going with that one, though. It wasn't where I was going.
Somebody that I would have hate for. That's tough, Double R. It's not too many programs I have just pure hate for.
We'll talk off the show. Okay. We'll talk off the show. Okay. We don't have to go down that rabbit hole. But yes, okay. But he ends up in Michigan, Sean. Let's talk about it from what Michigan is getting for a second, okay? Because, hey, man, we might hate it as Notre Dame fans, but that's a heck of a win for Michigan, dude. That is a heck of a win for Michigan. I think that you get one of the more natural passers in the 2026 class. I think you get a kid that is very confident and has a really good head on his shoulders. And I think you got a kid that has some pretty good athleticism overall as well. So, man, I was not a big JJ McCarthy fan, Sean, but Michigan got a lot out of him. Okay. Yeah. They got a lot out of him. Yeah. They did. And he won a national championship with him. Brady Hart, to me, is a more natural passer than JJ McCarthy ever was. JJ might probably a better athlete, right? JJ probably a little bit of a better athlete, but as far as like pure talents, man, pure talents, I think Michigan got a heck of a steal here. Heck of a steal.
Steal, man, that's a perfect word for it. I think you described it perfectly. I think what they get, natural passer, natural leader, competitive. That's the one. I think he is just as competitive probably as JJ McCarthy was. And I think that's probably what Sherrone Moore probably saw. in similarities, right? Because I think just from pure passing, I would probably say Brady Hart's a better natural passer of the football than J.J. McCarthy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Just naturally. I mean, actually, I think the better passers in this entire class were the two Bradys, in my opinion. At least two of the top three.
Both in the conversation, for sure. Yeah
definitely in the conversation. So, yo, I think they're getting a fantastic quarterback. And I think Sherrone Moore now, I think he's chomping at the bit, right? Because he doesn't really have – it's a big get because of what's currently on the roster. That's a void.
Right.
That's the question about Michigan. Michigan would be an easy top two team if they had a quarterback. Like, if J.J. McCarthy was there again this year, if he had come back, oh, they're probably top two. Yeah, and it's probably them in Ohio State.
You're not a big Alex Orji fan? You're not a big Alex Orji fan? I don't know.
I just trust Sherrone Moore to get what he can out of the young man. But as far as a passer, no.
Yeah. No. Athlete, sure.
Passer, he's definitely no a heck of an athlete, but as a passer.
Have you ever seen him play basketball, man? His basketball highlights
no,
are
he can hoop.
Crazy.
He has some games.
Oh. I need to send you a video I saw of him,
dude,
with this crazy, like, 360 dunk. It was nuts. It was nutty, yeah.
I mean, look at his legs.
Yeah.
Look at his, does he even wear pads? Like, his legs are just tree trunks. He came on the field in the Rose Bowl. I was like,
yo. He's a strong kid. Yeah, he'll be able to run, man. I don't know how much of a passer he is, but yeah, I don't know. Speaking of Brady's, though, Sean, you already mentioned the other one.
Yeah,
Brady Smigel. Mm-hmm. It's Florida State, Sean. Florida State. This one, because I had heard him do interviews in the past where he talked about Florida State briefly, but Brady did a great job of not really showing who his top schools were, right? Like, he said great things about Notre Dame, obviously. I think Notre Dame would have been one of his top schools if they would have, you know, pursued him more heavily. I'll put it like that. But Florida State is one. You got a California kid going all the way over, Sean. 6'4", 205 pounds. I know you were very high on Brady Smigel from the rip, man. You were a big fan of this kid. So your thoughts on him ending up at Florida State, man, seems like – I'll say it like this, Sean. I think that any quarterback under Mike Norvell and Alex Atkins is going to have a chance to be very good and very successful. I will say this, though. He's an interesting one because, at least at Florida State, they've been kind of running more with the athletic prototype at quarterback than the pure pocket kid who Brady Smigel is. So I'm just interested to see how that fits. But, man, nice pickup early for Florida State, the Seminoles.
Very good pickup. And I think Coach Norvell is probably going to get the best passer of the football that he's had during this time there once the young man joins the program. So very interesting as we go through these quarterbacks. Like you said, I think Notre Dame probably was top two for the three previously mentioned quarterbacks. If I were willing to bet, I would say at least top three. I would feel really comfortable saying Notre Dame was in the top three for Grubbs, Brady Hart, and Brady Smigel.
I think they would have been in for Smigel if they would have, you know, prioritized him in the class for sure. I think they would have had a chance to be there. Yeah. But I mean, Sean, for the other two, they were number one. They were number one. I mean, that's another thing we didn't really talk about. Well, like, the Michigan thing is, like, I guess Michigan probably doesn't care, but, like, you were the second choice, dog. Like, you were not the first choice. You were not. I mean,
you were the fallback, bro.
You were the fallback. You were the fallback.
Tell EJ Holland that. Tell him that while he gloats. Like, dude, you were the fallback. Relax.
You know it's funny, Sean. I've never spoken to EJ Holland. He seems like an interesting guy.
He's
I don't know
the weirdo. He's the weirdo. You know how people project onto other people, right? He's the weirdo. In the situation, honestly,
probably the guy calling a bunch of 16, 17, 18 year olds weirdos is probably a weirdo. Yes, I agree.
That's kind of weird behavior. Yeah. But no, I was on Brady the first time he was a two play tape guy for me.
Okay,
first two plays, I'm like, okay, all right, I've seen enough. And he was one of the guys that, if I'm not mistaken, Notre Dame actually flew out and watched him in person.
They did. Yeah. So Gino watched all these guys, which is why I trust the Grubbs thing, right, Sean? Gino has seen all these dudes throw in person. They've all been to South Bend. So, I agree. 100%.
Yeah, I think it was like five of the guys that were, because I don't know, did they see Curtis throw?
I think they did see Curtis throw, but there wasn't much interest from Jared Curtis throughout this whole thing. So
Yeah. I think that kid's good though, man.
I think
he pretty much knew where he wanted to go. But no. Yeah. Norvell, Seminoles. Hey, you kudos. You got a pretty good throw of the football.
Yeah. Oh, they got a great throw of the football. I'm very interested to see, again, how they change the offense a little bit. Because, again, I think Mike Norvell and this offensive coaches there at Florida State can get a lot out of their quarterbacks. But, I mean, Sean, we've seen Jordan Travis, who was a dual threat. Mackenzie Milton earlier as well. I know he got that leg injury, but, like, he was a dual threat kid as well.
Good call.
And, I mean, we haven't seen DJ Uiagalelei yet, but, like, he brings a little bit more dual threat ability as far as being able to run quarterback power and, like, that type of stuff as well. So he has that element to him as well. So we'll see what the next trajectory position.
Would you call Smigel the gunslinger of the class?
Yeah. He's definitely one of them. He might be the gunslinger of the class. I think Jared Curtis is a little bit of a gunslinger. You know who Jared Curtis reminds me of, Sean, which is hilarious. I made this comp for him like 2 months before he committed to Georgia. He reminds me of Matt Stafford. And Matt Stafford is the definition of a gunslinger. He is a gunslinger, dude. Like, no doubt about it. That guy has never seen a throw that he thinks he can't make. Never seen one. And I think Brady's got some of that in him, man.
He was really fun to watch last year as a quarterback in the NFL.
Agreed.
Because I think you like that gunslinger, but I think now his maturation mentally has kind of caught up to that gunslinger. And you watch him play now, you see a much more mature quarterback. And I think sometimes when you see hear the word gunslinger, that kind of denotes that these guys don't, they're just out there throwing it around. You know, they're just relying on their talent and their arm, and they don't know where to go with the football. And it's like, don't sell people short like that. You know, don't put them in a box. And we say they definitely have guts. That's what we mean. Like, they believe in their arm. That, for me, that's what that means. And, you know, Brady Smigel definitely believes in his arm.
In the NFL scouting community, Sean, we call that arm arrogance. And that young man has a lot of arrogance about his arm, and there's nothing wrong with that, man.
Nothing wrong at all.
I Brett Favre seems like a terrible person, but I loved watching Brett Favre play, man, because he did not think for 1 second he couldn't make that throw. Not for 1 second. And it haunted him a lot, but I mean, he threw what? 400, 500 something touchdowns at the end of his career. So a lot of good came out of feeling that way. A lot of good came. So yeah, Brady Smigel ends up with the Florida State Seminoles. Very interesting fit for him. And one that I think was going to pay off for them. Sean, let's talk about this last one. Cause I have been very honest about this. Okay. I was a Brady Hart guy. There's no doubt about that. And like the Hart versus Grubbs thing, but I like Grubbs as well. So very happy with Grubbs being Notre Dame's quarterback. But, Sean, from the minutes that there was a board, you know who my number one quarterback was, and that was Folsom California High School quarterback, Ryder Lyons. Big Ryder Lyons fan, man. 6'2", now up to about 210, 215, somewhere in the ballpark. Pure dual-threat quarterback. He is not committed to a school, Sean, but there is a lot of smoke, and I think there is legitimate smoke that he's going to end up with the USC Trojans, okay? Yeah. And his brother Walker, who was a very good tight end from Folsom as well in the 2023 class, he ends up at USC as well, but he's on a mission, so he'll be back, you know, pretty soon for USC. I guess before next season, I guess, is when Walker Lyons will be back. But man, I like Ryder Lyons a lot, Sean. I know there's talk about like mission guys or whatever, blah blah blah. All I know, Sean, is Ryder Lyons is good, man. He's really, really good. And I'm not a big Lincoln Riley fan, but if Lincoln Riley is around offensively to work with the Ryder Lyons, Yeah, you might got something there. You might have something there, man. He's pretty dang good.
Probably going to end up being a pretty good player, right?
Yes.
It's so funny, right? Because we talk about a guy like Lincoln Riley, right? His throwaways end up at, dude, you know, you've been hearing the buzz about what's happening down in New Orleans at Saints camp. You know the young quarterback that's coming there and is starting to turn heads. And you talk about arm arrogance and, like, who evaluated him, who recruited him, and who got him to come to Oklahoma. Yeah. This is why you trust what Lincoln Riley sees in Ryder Lyons. Like, you can say what you want to say. You could talk about the school he comes from and you don't believe in that lineage. You can say all of that stuff. Look, man, it's Lincoln Riley. And regardless of what he can't recruit and can't have a defense or put together a defense to save his life, whether it's USC or Oklahoma. But what he can do is develop that quarterback position. That's what he can do, right? If you pair, if he finds a way to keep Juju and add Ryder Lyons.
Well, he's probably not going to be able to keep Juju, but that's
yeah, I sense that's coming. I do sense that's coming.
It's in the air.
That's coming.
It's in the air.
And if Juju ends up in a certain program in the SEC, I don't know what else to say, man. Or if he ends up in Colorado, that'll be interesting as well.
He will not end up in Colorado. I can guarantee you that one.
But
he's not going to be in Colorado.
Yeah, I sense he's going to go to a certain program in the SEC. But at that point, we need to look at some type of monopoly rules. Like college football, but no.
Oh, it might be a different SEC school than you believe it is, Sean.
No. I'm open to all SEC schools. I think it's going to be an SEC school. I think
it's going to be an SEC school as well. I think it's going to be.
But either one that I think that quarterback position is pretty heavily stocked. So.
Yes. Well, yeah, if it's one, I think it is, though. It might not be quite as well stocked as you think it is. But, yeah. But, Sean, I think that Ryder Lyons gives a lot of the skill set that Lincoln Riley really likes as far as being able to move the pocket at times, be able to throw in rhythm, be able to throw off platform at times. But then – I mean, Caleb Williams can move, Sean, right? Like, he was a great improviser, a great scrambler, but he wasn't really a quarterback run game guy. I mean, he could do it occasionally if you wanted him to. But Lincoln Riley, early in his Oklahoma career, he got a lot out of those guys, man. Like, Rattler wasn't a runner. Caleb Williams was a scrambler, not really a runner, but a scrambler. But before that, he had Kyler. He had Jalen Hurts. He had some runners, man. And I'm telling you, Ryder Lyons can run, dude.
It was almost like Rattler was like his attempt, his experimentation. Like, I can develop this type of guy too, right? Let me prove I can develop this type of guy. And don't forget, Spencer Rattler was like everybody's like top, like, yo.
Yeah. Oh, I remember seeing him throw for the first time. I'm like, oh, that kid's an NFL kid. Like, there's no doubt about it. And he didn't turn out to be what I thought he was going to be when he was a retro freshman. But he was actually, Sean, I don't know if you remember, like, he was Lincoln Riley's first starting quarterback that was his recruits. Like, that was the first one before Caleb. Like, that was the first one. I mean, otherwise it was grad transfer Baker, grad transfer or transfer Jalen Hurts. It was transfer Kyler Murray. Like, that was the sequence of quarterbacks.
And that's a very interesting point, Double R. Yeah. Like, really, literally, Ryder Lyons could end up being one of the most important full process athletes and quarterbacks for him as a coach.
Because all he has is Caleb right now, man. Spencer Rattler was not a success. Spencer Rattler left. Like, that was not a successful one. And then, like, if Miller Moss ends up being a good player, Miller Moss wasn't a Lincoln Riley recruit. He was already a USC. That wasn't a Lincoln Riley recruit. I guess there's a world where Jaden Maiava, who is the transfer UNLV, comes in and he continues the transfer pipeline, but I don't necessarily think that that's going to happen. I mean, he hasn't shown that he can develop a quarterback
consistently.
Because we always talk about those Heisman Trophy winners. It's like only one of those Heisman Trophy winners was a recruit that Lincoln Riley got. Everybody else was a transfer.
Yeah.
Spencer Rattler flamed out at Oklahoma. And so it'll be interesting. So that's the quarterback, Sean. Someone had said, oh, what about Antoine Hill? I think someone had said in the chat, Antoine Hill is a 2025 kid. I mean, I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, Sean, but Notre Dame recruited Antoine Hill, who's the Georgia quarterback that committed to Memphis over Florida over the weekend. They recruited him, but they didn't push for him. They kind of stopped pretty early on in that process because like they knew Deuce was their guy, and then Bear Bachmeyer they liked as well. Like those were kind of their two guys early on. But Antoine Hill going to Memphis, man, that's interesting. 6'5", 220. I made the joke that going from Seth Hennigan to Antoine Hill on Twitter was like going from a I think I said like a broken down golf cart to a Lambo, and
I people saw that. Like,
oh man, Seth Hennigan's one of the top 15 quarterbacks in college football. Relax, dude. One, I wasn't even talking about production. I was talking about talent. Like, let's be honest here, right? But yeah, Antoine Hill to Memphis is a weird one, man. That FedEx money is kicking in, my friend. It's kicking in.
I think that speaks to where college football is headed, though. And I think that makes it more exciting, especially going into the playoffs, right? You're excited if a Memphis can make it into that expanded field and they have a guy like Antoine Hill that's a top quarterback. That makes it a sexier game, right? Because you have a guy that could possibly be a first, second round pick at the quarterback position from a talent standpoint. Let's see what he can do. Let's see what he can do in this matchup. That, you know, I want to see players like Antoine Hill go to programs like that. You know, and I think NIL makes things like that possible. That who could ever think 10 years ago a kid would choose Memphis over Florida? Like, just think about that.
Did you see my one comment on it, Sean, that Florida was going to try to convince people that he wasn't a take?
Oh, absolutely. That's all schools do that. Oh, we really didn't want him. Like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, right. Yeah, sure you did. You don't want the 6'5", 220-pound kid that has a Rockefeller arm and can run? Yeah, sure you did. Mm-hmm. Sure. I'm interested to see how the Memphis program, because, I mean, obviously Mike Norvell did a lot of great things, Sean, but Coach Silverfield, I think, is the coach there. He seems to be kind of picking up where Coach Norvell. I mean, I know there was a couple years to start, but, I mean, they won 10 games last year, and they've got some money behind their program now, which is big time for them. So we'll see, man. We'll see. Yeah. But it's going to be interesting to see how Antoine Hill develops in Memphis, no doubt about it. Folks, that's 2026 quarterback talk, though. I have an exciting interview that we're getting to next. Okay, so don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. Before we get there, though, like button, make sure to subscribe to the channel. Hit that notification bell at the bottom of the screen. If you're listening to me on or us on your favorite podcast platform, Apple, Spotify, anything else, make sure you're subscribed over there and hit a 5-star review. Boris@spreaker.com for latest team and recruiting intel. We are inching closer and closer to the end of summer, which means we're inching closer and closer to the beginning of the 2024 football season. So make sure that you're locked in over there. We're going to show you guys an interview with Sharon Black next here on the Notre Dame Recruiting Hour on the Irish Breakdown podcast.